I am Stephen Rick, and this is Sight and Vision, exploring what it means to be seen as visually impaired and gaining relative perspective through the personal stories of those who see clearly, the need for understanding. Welcome, everyone. Today, our guest is founder and co-owner of Sarkozy Bakery, Judy Sarkozy. Judy, welcome, and thank you for being here. Judy, let's start at the beginning. Where does your story with visual impairment begin, please?
A little over a year ago. Woke up one morning and my left eye was fully blind. I had had some distortion before that, and I may have had some other symptoms that I didn't connect with it. But I asked my ophthalmologist about the distortions, and he said, "Well, if they go away, it's okay." And obviously, it wasn't so. I then talked to a retinologist who said, get to the hospital. What I had was giant cell arteritis, so the blood was reduced to my eyes, and the optic nerve on my left eye is gone, and my right eye is pretty well damaged, although I have a significant amount of sight.
After your diagnosis, did you share the news immediately, or were you compelled to, carry that weight alone?
Well, I was in the hospital, so it was immediately shared, obviously.
You couldn't avoid it.
Well, and I don't think I would have. I mean, I couldn't get around because I couldn't drive. I couldn't, so it totally upended my life. So it was shared.
The acceptance part. Has the process of acceptance, has that happened and now you've moved on? Or do you feel like the acceptance of visual impairment is sort of an active process for you?
For me, it was immediate, and I didn't have any choice. That I was blind, and I could barely see out of the other eye, and so there I was. It was, okay, let's go on from here.
Just like that?
Yeah, because there's nothing could be done. See, and so, okay, let's go.
Do you think that it's sort of like life before vision loss and then life after vision loss? Or is this just another chapter in the storybook of Judy's life?
Well, I don't know. Life certainly has changed dramatically. I would say it's closer to being just another chapter. It does completely change everything.
Right. And would you agree that... or go so far as to say vision loss is the worst thing that can happen to a person?
No, absolutely not. I don't know really how to answer that, but no, you can cope with it. Now, I don't have total vision loss, and that's a completely different animal. And my heart goes out to folks with total vision loss. I can see enough to get around. I use a cane. I can take the bus. I have a fair amount of independence. If it were total, that would be completely different.
How do you mean that?
I mean that some vision, I don't know how to put this, but some vision is huge. I mean, I can see you. If I couldn't see anything, I'm closing my eyes right now, the world would seem completely different. Finding things, moving things, getting around, it's wholly different. I don't call myself blind because I'm not blind. I have limited vision. And that's a different world from being blind.
Do you think the visual impairment has change the way you see yourself? Do you see yourself as a different person now?
No, but other people do, obviously. I don't. I'm 83, so I'm used to loss. That's what old age is about, loss. And this is another loss. And so it was a blow, is a blow, but I've had other blows.
How about daily activities? Do you think your visual impairment has changed your physical self, the daily activities of life?
Good Lord, yes, because I can't drive. That was the first thing I thought of when I got up and I couldn't see. Oh my God, I can't drive. And so it's changed. You have to plan your life differently. It takes you 5 times longer to get anywhere. It completely changes your life. And people see you differently. And they don't know how to respond. And I understand that. And they don't know how impaired I am. And they want to help. And so it's a different world.
Did your vision loss affect or change the people around you?
Well, you know, my life was centered around the bakery, and I'm in the way in the bakery, not being able to see. So that changes everything. So I don't know the staff anywhere near as well as I used to.
How much did that concern you? You know, looking back, what concerned you most about the visual impairment or vision loss?
Well, of course, I'm afraid it'll get worse. I mean, that's a fear you just have to learn to live with. And if it gets worse, man, I don't know, but we'll cross that bridge when we come to it.
There's still an element to the unknown and that frightens me. Yeah. Like what is going to happen tomorrow? Well, was there something that you feared, you know, that turned out to be something you didn't have to worry about?
I hadn't thought about it, of course, ahead of time. So I didn't know. It wasn't anything that I feared. I didn't have, like you, I didn't have a diagnosis that could be gradual or not. Mine was bam, there it was there, live with it.
But was there something or someone that helped you through those early days after diagnosis?
Well, I had just moved to a continuing care retirement community. So that was wonderful, because if I had gone home from the hospital, unable to drive alone in my house, that would have been really, really hard.
Serendipitous. You mean it just happened that it was good fortune you had moved before?
I had moved before, yeah. And so I had sold my house. I had gotten rid of all kinds of stuff. I had, you know, so that, and so coming back, people were there to greet me. And, yeah, you know, I got people around.
Thinking about formal training, Judy, like vocational rehabilitation or living skills, have you received any of those kinds of trainings?
My habit has always been I go immediately to the web. And so I...
Sometimes I scare myself to death when I read the stuff on there. It's like, oh my
God. Well, I know how to sift and sort. And so there are all kinds of training things on the web. And I didn't want to wait. I didn't want to call somebody and get an appointment 2 months from now and do all that. I didn't want to wait. So I ordered a cane. I read about it on the web. I looked at their training. I'm perfectly capable of looking up magnifying glasses and lights, and, you know, I bought all kinds of stuff like that.
Was that characteristic of you, though? I mean, as a business owner and business.
Sure. I do things for myself. And the cane was kind of funny, because when I first got it, I didn't want to use it, of course. And I,
white cane.
Yeah. And I knew very well that I should. And if I didn't use it, there's no way I could cross the street, you know. And so first I got the cane and I carried it in my backpack. And then I told people, oh yeah, I have a cane. Yeah. So that was the next step. And then finally I used it. And so what I did is then I got a backpack so that it was easier to get around. And of course, taking the bus, then I had to get, you know, rainy gear and that kind of stuff. I didn't have any of that kind of stuff. So I got what I needed to take the bus.
Step by step.
Yeah. Then I'm much more comfortable with my cane than I am. I can't get around, but I'm much more comfortable in a crowd, or of course, if I'm alone crossing the street or anything like that, you know, that made a world of difference getting around.
Speaking of your business, and we're probably going to start talking about that now as we move from questions looking back to the present. If you had started your business as a visually impaired person, is there anything you would have done differently?
I couldn't have done it. There's so much about baking that is, you just have to be able to see. You have to see what the dough looks like. Yes, you have to feel it too, but you have to, I couldn't have started this business. I could have started some other business. There's no problem with that.
That leads me to ask, like, would the assistants, would they have been differently skilled in things? You probably would have still accomplished something, but would you have hired different kinds of people with different skills or more people?
Well, it would depend on what I did, what kind of business I had for this business.
But you still would have made it happen, you think?
I think so, because at the time, my husband and I were both getting our PhDs, and I had had it with academics because it was awful for women. It was just awful. So I would have figured out something we were just figuring out what we wanted to do.
You were reported in the Kalamazoo Metro 2023 annual report as a user of public transit. That's how I actually read you and I first contacted you. So how do you feel about disclosure, you know, or the public sharing of your visual status or condition? Obviously, you're somewhat comfortable with it. Is that important to you to be, you know, speak out about it or share that information?
I am comfortable. I write an email for the bakery on a regular basis, and I wrote about that fairly soon because I'm a public person. I knew that people needed to know, and they needed to know they care about the bakery. They care about me. And so, why not? Now I'm sometimes a little uncomfortable in public when something's happening and I'm sort of stumbling around or something, you know, and I have to say, you know, I have poor vision, you know, and I'm a little uncomfortable doing that, but it's necessary and people are good about it. And as far as being a, you know, a poster girl for the bus, I have always supported the bus, so I get, you know, so it was fine with me to do that. I've always been a strong Kalamazoo advocate. Yeah.
Professionally, do you see more opportunities or more limitations?
Oh, much more limitations. You can't get around. You can't get anywhere. And it means that you have to. In my case, I'm very lucky because people are so helpful at where I live. And I live close to a bus stop. And, but if I want to go across town, about a 20-minute, like, there's a restaurant I'm thinking of, it would take me more than an hour and a half to get there. And so your time is eaten up by things that should be so simple. But they aren't. And you just have to say, well, okay, that's what it is, what it is, and you ain't going to change it.
How about the labels of, say, like being handicapped or differently abled or visually impaired? Or do those labels mean anything to you, or do they have sensitivity there?
I'm not blind. I don't care if someone calls me blind, but I wouldn't want a blind person, a truly blind, to hear me say I'm blind, because I am not. They have a much harder way to go than I do. And I don't care if, well, yeah, I guess I do and I don't. It's just like if I needed to use a walker, I think I'd be sensitive to that. But that's as you're getting old. And the less you can do and get around, it says you're getting old. Well, I am old. I'm already there, so I don't have to worry about that. But I was surprised that I didn't want to have a white cane. And I'm surprised at myself that I work at walking, trying to walk with my head up, because, of course, I see a lot better with my head down. I try to walk with my head up, and I try to walk with some grace. And part of that is how I want people to see me.
That's interesting. How do you think you perceive those with canes? Like you said, you were a little bit apprehensive.
Yeah, I mean, people say, oh, yeah, there's a blind lady. And boy, is she old. And wow, I wonder if she'll make it to the bus stop. It's not quite that bad. But yeah, for people who don't know me, they're going to see me as handicapped. And so.
That dignity, is that dignity is important here?
Yeah, I guess it's dignity. I don't know whether it's dignity an implicit bias, frankly. When I first moved into where I live, and the first time I was on the bus and everybody else had a walker, and I was thinking, oh man, that's where I'm headed. Oh gosh. And I realized, oh, I have an explicit bias. Against frailty.
Has that helped somehow influenced your retirement, I guess, you know, because you're doing, you know, as you relax and from your responsibilities at the bakery, say, and you moved into your new house, has that sort of facilitated a sort of relaxed approach to retirement, or is it causing anxiety?
No. First of all, I have a partner. He owns half the business. And in the years leading up to this thing, my husband died and many things happened. And I was, my husband was sick. I was AWOL from the bakery a lot. And if he hadn't been there, the bakery would have closed because I couldn't do both. So we were making plans for me to gradually get out of the bakery. After all, I've done it for 47 years, and it's, you know, I get some time of my own for a while. But this was abrupt, and it was like, oh, wow, all of a sudden the roles changed, and I wasn't ready for that. I knew I was planning for it, but I was not emotionally ready to suddenly be out of the bakery. And that was hard.
Has that impacted you publicly, you know, as the established, well-known business owner? Do you think that's impacted your public presence, I suppose, or public image? I mean, you seem to be coming out and saying, hey, look, this is my life now, and this is the positive aspects of it. For example, the public transport. You're taking a rather glass-half-full approach. Would you agree to that?
I am a person who looks forward. And I've always been, even in the thick of things, I've always been pretty upbeat.
What's the greatest motivation? And again, like just daily visual impairment challenges.
What's the greatest motivation? I'm trying to have as much of a life as I can have as I had before. And that changed. For example, I don't read anywhere near as much as I did because it's a pain. And yes, I have lots of light and I have magnifying glasses and lighted magnifier and you name it, but it's still not sitting in a chair with a beer reading a book.
How about obligation? Do you ever feel obligated to sort of represent the low vision community now?
No, I've never felt that. I don't mind doing it. But I've never felt, oh, yeah, that's... Now, other kinds of responsibilities in that regard is the bakery has struggled in the past, and this community has supported us and helped us in incredible ways. And we would not be around if this community hadn't kind of adopted us. And in that, then, I feel a strong responsibility to reflect back to people what a wonderful place this is and how wonderful the support and interaction has been. And so in that, yes, I feel a very strong obligation to be part of the community, to reflect back to people. You know, if you're sitting around saying, oh, man, it's terrible around here, that affects you differently. But I want people to know the good parts.
You've made yourself known as a business person, and now you're a visually impaired business person. So what professional advice would you give to other visually impaired people who want to achieve your level of success?
I don't think my level of success really, and maybe this, I don't know if I can say it, but I don't think my level of success really depended on whether I was visually impaired or not. I think I would have started a business anyway. I always thought that that was what I ought to do. And so it would have been a different kind of business. But the skills it takes to start a business, the chutzpah it takes and all that, I don't think the visual impairment really affects that. It would just affect the type of thing I did.
Do you think your business experience, does that help you manage your visual impairment and daily challenges? Do you draw on that experience?
Well, I guess I've had a very, for me, a very meaningful life. I am a child of the 70s and the civil rights era and the anti-war era. And I had very strong ideas about what I hoped for in the world. Of course, those haven't happened. But I also wanted to make sure that I was living an ethical, moral life and that my business reflected that. I think that was more important to me. And I feel watching Alec, my partner, my business partner, he's carrying it on, and that feels good.
With this new experience as a visually impaired person, has it made you wiser?
Oh, I'm not wise.
Any new kind of perspective on life? Are you seeing things different? Like, oh, I never thought about that.
Seeing things different, that's for damn sure. whether that makes me different, I don't, you know, it's old enough when it happened. I was 82. I don't think that it's going to change me much.
Judy, are you learning the old things in new ways, or are you learning new things?
I'm just having to plan better and take longer to get around. And you know, it hasn't brought any great insight or anything. It's like, okay, here's the next thing, and let's figure it out and do it.
How about social life? Are you traveling in different circles now?
That's an interesting question, because just this week, I'm going to a party this weekend, and I went to a party a couple weeks ago, and I realized, well, there were things going on for me. One is I'm getting hearing aids in the next about a week, and I wasn't hearing very well. Wasn't seeing worth a crap, and it was at the beach, and we went on a boat ride. Well, I have very fair skin, and I don't go out in the sun, and I can't drink anymore because of my condition. I'm not supposed to drink, and I really missed that. Here I was at this party with these four things that are not good party. And so I thought at the time, I thought, you know, that may well change things. It hasn't yet. but it may well change what I enjoy. And if it's something really visual, like going to the art museum, which I loved, and so the people that I did that with, that's going to change.
Do you find yourself making new visually impaired friends or friends who are visually impaired?
I don't know many people who are visually impaired. Other than, well, of course, I know several where I live who have got macular degeneration. And I feel very lucky because the vision that I have, it's not really clear in the center. On my right eye, I can't see anything below here. And I have virtually no peripheral vision in my right eye. And what's there is kind of a mess. It's stuff running around and it's noisy.
Part of the fun is trying to explain that to somebody else, isn't it?
Yeah, right. Yeah. Do you see what I see?
All right. This is an unusual question. Has there been any good that has come from your vision loss, would you say?
Well, it's like saying, is there any good being on crutches or something? I guess it makes you more sensitive, which is reasonable, and it makes you, just more aware of what people go through.
For those who are cynical and they say, oh, no, the visually impaired life in this case can never be as good as a life with sight. How would you respond to that?
Well, I certainly wouldn't respond that it's better. I've heard people say, particularly, and man, I got a whole lot of people gave me articles about, oh, it's great being blind. It isn't for me. I guess, at my age, everybody's got some impairments. They've got bad backs. They've got bad knees. They've got, they're depressed. They just lost their spouse. They just lost their vision. They just lost their whatever. So I think at my age, I see it more as, okay, it's another loss.
To enjoy life. It's still possible. We're going to enjoy life.
Yeah. And let's just go on.
And technology, I don't know how much you're using technology. I know that you're quite tech savvy. Thank you for that. Do you think technology is making your professional or personal life possible, easier, or enjoyable?
Oh, yeah. Much easier. I have always been a spreadsheet person, and now I can blow it up on the screen. Having an iPhone and being able to blow things up, and it's got all those accessibility things on it. That makes things a whole lot easier. I pretty much dictate to both my phone and my computer. I was never a good typist anyway, so this is a good excuse. It makes it much easier.
Do new technologies intimidate you, do you think? Or are they like, oh, well, it's a new thing. Let's take a look.
Yeah, it's like, oh, well, if that'll work, I'll learn it. We got our first computer in 79, so we were early in, and so I'm comfortable, and I've used the computer in the bakery a lot.
Have you heard anything about artificial intelligence or AI? Do you think that's a new thing, or is that something you'd stay away from?
No, I think that's huge help in the future, and I love the AI sites, and I think it's going to, a whole lot of the accessibility things depend on AI, and I think it's fabulous. And yes, it could have a whole lot, we could have problems, but it's going to help us in a lot of ways.
We're going to move forward now in the next segment. We're talking about the future. In preparation, do you think someone can or should prepare for vision loss? Is that possible?
I don't think it's possible. I mean, like, of course, mine was weird because it was, but I don't think it's possible because you can't imagine it. You can think you do, but you can't. And everybody has this thing, would you rather go blind or go deaf or whatever? And they always talk about, oh, that's stupid. You can't imagine either of them. And so when it happens, you just figure out, okay, this is how I'm going to cope.
What assumptions, if any, do people make about you as a visually impaired person? And how do we change that?
Well, I guess I don't know what people are assuming about me. But I do know that there are assumptions about handicaps. And they're very different. And I know I have assumptions about handicaps. And I think that I'm a very open and everything else person. I'm sometimes surprised when I see someone, I think, oh God, how long is it going to take her to get off the bus now? You know, and I know that people see me when I get on the bus, it takes me a little bit longer. And, but I think we just accept the fact that it's going to take her, whoever it was, to get off the bus longer. Has nothing to do with the handicap. It has to do with I'm being impatient. And so I think the more people know personally people with various handicaps, the better. I mean, we all learn that way.
Misunderstandings now, from your experience in the past year, what general misunderstandings about visual impairment do you think need to be communicated to those who are unfamiliar with it?
The only thing that I don't quite know how to explain to people when they're trying to help, it's very interesting. When they're trying to help, there is a difference in the way people try to help you. Many people come and grab your arm and then there are other people who say, well, which side is best? How do you want to do this? Can I help? You know, what can I do? But other people say, oh, here, okay, there's a curb right. Oh, all right, here's this. It's nice of them to tell me, but it's not as helpful. So, you know, for example, when I am being guided by someone, of course, I want to be touching their elbow as opposed to them grabbing my arm. And, you know, and there are just things like that. That and sometimes it's hard to tell, and it's okay. You know, people want to help. And so I need to accept help the way it comes.
In business since 1978, your professional legacy is set. But you've been a visually impaired person for a shorter time. What about the idea of your business becoming known as a blind-owned business or visually impaired-friendly or something?
I'm not in the business anymore. So so it doesn't make sense. I do the bookkeeping, and of course, by the way, having a limited sight bookkeeper is not very smart. but and so I make mistakes, and then I make mistakes fixing my mistake. I hate it, but that is one of the things I can do. But the importance of my vision is irrelevant to the bakery.
Looking at your future, are you happy about it? Is that important to be happy?
I'm happy about my future no matter what happens. I'm, like I said, I look forward and I have good friends and I'm very much into classical music. So I listen to classical music all the time. I go to a lot of concerts. And now with my ears, I have really, really strong tinnitus. And so I like having the music going because it distracts me from the tinnitus.
Kalamazoo does have a symphony. Free plug.
It has a terrific symphony, and it has a world-class piano festival. This year I went to 18 concerts in about 2 weeks.
Here's a fun question. What one word would you use? What one word to describe Judy Sarkozy's future?
I don't know.
Three words.
Oh. We'll see. One word, I don't know.
Fair.
Short. You know, who knows? I'm 83, you know?
For those who are new to vision loss, right? Maybe struggling with it. It's just, you know, it's new to them. Do you have any anecdote or time in your life when looking forward, you know, without sight, just didn't seem viable? Is there something you could offer to those people at this moment? No pressure.
No pressure, right? I don't know that figuring out what to do about vision loss is any different from any other problem in life. So, you know, get help, get information, search, and talk about it. And, you know, it's the same as any kind of problem.
The life after vision loss.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The end.
Breathing. No, you may as well try to have fun.
Do you think talking about issues on like a show like Sight and Vision, do you think it can help to move the needle or facilitate some kind of understanding? Does it serve any purpose?
I don't have any way of knowing that. I think it's helpful, just as I said, get information. This show will get information out. Get information, know that there are others, know you're not the only one. Because, you know, when something like that happens, you think, it's momentous. I'm the only one. Oh, my goodness sakes. And you need to figure out that you're not the only one, and your ego is not the only ego that, and your life is not the only life that's, quote, been ruined, or, you know. Find people that you can talk to, and this is a way of finding people that you can talk to.
Is there anything you'd like to say to our listeners that you haven't yet mentioned?
I think that with every crisis in my life, at first I tend to think, it's about me, I'm the only one, etc. And I guess the thing is, reach out. If you don't know anybody, get on the web, go to the library, do what you can do to reach, keep reaching out, because there's no percentage in staying home and whining. I shouldn't say whining. There's no percentage in staying home and being stuck with your own perspective.
Thank you, Judy. Thank you for spending time with us today to share your story. Much appreciated.
Certainly.
And thank you, listeners, for being with us here today on Sight and Vision. That will end our show. Welcome back every other Wednesday for our new episode. Until then, what do you see when you can't? I am Stephen Rick, and this has been Sight and Vision.